Well, I'm going to invite the Tedders to come up, and they have a lot to share with us this morning. And we're glad you're here. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor Trey. Great to be with you, and good to be back in Baker City. We were here, we believe, 5 years ago on a Sunday evening. And we are Fred and Cheryl Tedder. Cheryl is a graduate of what used to be NNC, now NNU. And we proudly own two offspring who also are graduates from there. And a free plug for NYC, Pastor Troy. Our daughter Libby went to one in Toronto when she was challenged as a teen to sign a blank piece of paper and handed her life over to the Lord and let him fill in the details of her life. She was always one from an early age who came home from first grade and was overwhelmed with the thought that she wanted to do her homework and get it right, as I recall. But God has led her in wonderful ways. Both her and her brother Roland then went to NYC in Houston, and today are in ministry. And your Pastor Troy and our son Roland were in the Philippines with NYI some years back. It's good to be together, though, isn't it?
It is good to be together with you this morning, and it's going to be an update from 5 years ago, and as you see up on the screen, who knew where a yes would lead? So maybe some of you weren't there 5 years ago when we kind of told you a little bit about what we've been doing in South Africa. So we are with Life Tree Community Ministries, which you'll, as we share the story, you'll understand it is not your traditional way of doing church.
It's not your father's Oldsmobile. I mean, it's not your father's church.
Yeah. Yes. Great. But our prayer is that we will all be inspired. And I always get inspired when I even think about how God has led, which actually leads me to the fact that it's been 6 years since we said yes to a seemingly unimportant decision. Now, when I wrote that, I thought it was unimportant. But when I think about it, really having breakfast with friends is not unimportant.
Right.
So 6 years ago in February, we had breakfast with a friend actually on the continent in the area where I had grown up in South Africa with a friend that I went to primary school with. My parents were missionaries in South Africa. My dad was the principal of the Nazarene Bible College that actually Fred graduated from many, many years later.
Yes.
And anyway, we're having breakfast and this friend asked a question. He said, would you ever consider returning to South Africa in whatever capacity God might have you go? Kind of like the song we sang on about oceans. And I stood up and I said, yes. And that yes actually led to a very important then decision to go ahead and sell up from where we were. We were pastoring Salt Lake City First Church of the Nazarene and return to South Africa. Now you'll understand from our accents that we have a little bit of American accent and a little bit of South African accent and a little bit of whatever accent.
So we'll talk slowly. No, we won't.
So anyway, that breakfast and that yes in 2016 has led Fred and I over the last now 5.5 years to sometimes have front row seats.
Right.
And be able to watch God at work in South Africa and in particularly where we live, but also across borders. And sometimes we get to be on the playing field as well. So it's kind of a two-step thing that we are involved with. Mm-hmm. But what we get to experience is what the prophet Isaiah wrote about in chapter 55. Three things, three truths. Truth number one, God doesn't think the way we think. Amen? Does that surprise you? He just doesn't. He doesn't work the way we work, amen? Big surprise, because I'm kind of a task-oriented person, and I get busy with my task, and the Lord says, whoa, Cheryl, slow down. That is not the way I actually want to do this. So number one, God doesn't think the way we think. He doesn't work the way we work. Truth number two, God's word accomplishes what he delights in. See, I've always kind of twisted that, like, right. It accomplishes what I delight in. Well, maybe not. It accomplishes what he delights in, which truth number three, and this is all found in Isaiah 55, when we step into what delights him,
yes,
then we go out in joy and we continue being led into a whole and complete life as two 60-somethings.
Right.
So you have to understand that when we started this, I was 61. And I really wanted to be 62. The only reason is I could get that little card that would let me into
national parks.
Yes. Now, I didn't want to go beyond 62, but I really wanted that card. So who knew, as the sign up there says, who knew what a simple yes, what it would result in? So there are some things we know and some things we don't know. Mm-hmm. First of all, when we said yes, we would return, we knew that God was confirming our yes, the yes that was birthed through him in us. We knew that we were to resign as pastors of Salt Lake City First, now Movemental Church. We could sell what we could, send what we could, and we would begin to tell God's story, our story. We knew we would not be supported in the usual ways that we had been supported in the past.
Right.
Because we actually, the door closed to be supported from global missions. And the door closed for us to go back as pastors. And here's what we discovered. The only safety net we had was God loves making something out of nothing. Isn't that amazing? Now, that is scary, folks. But think about it. He created the universe out of nothing. He helped a dry womb receive the gift of life, resulting in the metric of what? Laughter.
Right.
So when God creates out of nothing, there's just a lot of joy and a lot of laughter. And Fred and I sometimes have cried, and sometimes we have laughed. But God looks at things differently. What does Isaiah 55 say? He works differently than we work. Mm-hmm. And he has worked in our lives in a different way. We could not conceive, we could not imagine where that yes would take us. And so today's presentation is about the joy and the metrics of saying yes. Just say yes. Yes, when there are no certainties. Yes, when a worldwide pandemic, right, stops everyone in their tracks. Yes, when a still small voice says, the next step is up to you. See, we had to do the selling of our stuff. We had to buy the tickets.
Right.
The next step, God called, God said, and we took the next step. So that was 6.5 years ago.
Indeed it was. And we heard him beckoning to us with a very clear call from a far horizon. In fact, flying it again reminds us it's about 10,000 miles away from here to Johannesburg, South Africa. And he had a vision tucked away in our hearts for many years when we were newly married, living in the country of Zimbabwe and serving there. At the end of our period of serving in Zimbabwe, we felt a burden for the cities of Southern Africa, for people living in the cities, for people who have hopes and dreams, people who want to see their kids well educated, people who want to make a difference in their everyday lives. And for 3 decades, that lay dormant. And then suddenly God seemed to revive that again for us. We felt an urging to take a journey and undertake a risk and a task that we did not fully understand. And when we left the shores of the United States and we hugged our daughter Libby, and she has big blue eyes and the tears filled, and she'd said to us, Mom, Dad, at your age, we should be the ones going on a call like this to Africa, meaning her and her family and her brother and his family, but it's you guys who are going. You see, God sometimes confounds us, doesn't he? Recording many encounters and conversations that we've had, Cheryl has kept a log, if you please, and put that in an Excel spreadsheet even, with these conversations and encounters that we've had in the city of Johannesburg and beyond. And as you listen, it is our prayer that you too will hear the still small voice giving you a fresh calling for your future. Chatting to Brother Joe Bailey and hearing that he was part of the building of this facility here at Baker City. Chatting to Brother Steve and hearing about work and witness and how that's in your DNA and the heart you have for missions. I love that. Eyes to see that in your neighborhood, in your place of work, out on the farm, in the school, as you are doing your day-to-day regular routines 24/7, God is delighted every time you show up, pay attention, cooperate with God, right where you are. It could be at the supper table. It could be at the bean. It could be out in town. It could be in the surrounds. It could be during announcements at church. Think about that. Meeting strangers who soon become friends and teachers and mentors. I love the heart that Rosie has to see youth ministry that's melded together with senior adults. Think about that relationship. Think about the mentoring. Thinking about the wealth of life experience that you at Baker City can experience too.
So things we know and didn't know now, things we do know in 2022, if you'll go to the next slide, and things that we still do not know. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that one. Next slide. Okay, we'll just keep going. It's slide number four.
There
Thank you
is.
Very much.
We call it the Celtic knot, or the Trinity knot. And you notice that it's interlaced and interleading, and it goes up to the outer reaches, and then it comes back down in. And it's all about immersing and listening where God has called and placed you, right where you live. Do you stop to listen to the conversations around you? Do you hear some of the back stories that people have in their lives? Coming out of COVID, as Cheryl was saying, coming out of a time of tough economic challenge, coming out of health issues and challenges, whatever it may be. Befriending and connecting is relating at the bottom right. And then on the bottom left is serving. How do we participate in what God is already up to in our everyday communities and enriching?
So if you look at the next slide, those behaviors, we call them missional behaviors. After I had entered in all these conversations that we had been having since we first arrived, what we discovered was the answer to how does one do the ministry that God had called us to, the answer to how is yes. Just yes. Yes to having a cup of coffee. Yes to whatever next God is asking you to do. And when I entered those conversations after a year, I had like 450 conversations that I put the date, the people, the place, and then the conversation. Up popped these five areas where we were having missional impact in people's lives. And so today we're just going to tell a few stories about those three areas, all right? Absorbing, relating, and serving. And this is what we do in South Africa, but you know what? Everybody is on mission, and everybody gets to participate in missional behavior wherever you are. I knew that we were absorbing so much when we first arrived that if I didn't keep track of it, as Fred has already said, I would never remember what had gone on. So the question is, who knew that the conversations we were having with people on an everyday basis, where we shopped, where we stopped for a coffee, whatever, who knew that those conversations would then become a visual, as you see up there on that slide, of missional behavior? Now, in the corner, there's also a tree, and that tree is a baobab tree, and it's called the Tree of Life. Right. So that's why we call our ministry Life Tree Community. Going to the next slide. Starting with, but in no order of importance, connecting and befriending. We don't realize that just being a friend has such an amazing impact in people's lives. And so, Fred, why don't you tell us about Clifford? If you'll go to the next slide, you'll see our adopted son.
Clifford is an amazing human. We ran into him in a pop-up coffee shop in a boutique mall in the northern part of the city of Johannesburg. And we got to know Clifford, and we realized he had some great qualities. Hospitality was one of his strengths. We had observed him as little kids would come by in the shopping mall with their moms and strollers were being pushed. And I remember very clearly about a three-year-old girl spotting Clifford a little ways away and running to him. And he getting down and just scooping her up in his arms, giving her a big hug and sending her safely back to her mom. That's the kind of guy he was. So he served us a couple of times. And then he asked, so what are you guys doing here? Now, it helps to have a slightly different accent. There we perceive to have an American accent. And we said, well, we are here to do church outside the walls, outside of the box. And he said, well, where is your guys' church? And we said, right here at this coffee table. This is sacred space with you, Clifford. It was interesting because a little bit later he said to us again, guys, I really need a verse. And we thought, okay. And he said, well, I've been praying and I've been hitting a brass ceiling. I'm not getting through to God. I said, good news, Clifford. Give me your phone number. I'll WhatsApp you a Bible verse every day. We send them out to our LifeTree community. So I included Clifford in that list. And you know what? That night, this part always gets to me. That night he messages me and he says, can I call you dad? He said, I've never had a dad in my life. I didn't know my biological father. We were a single parent family with my mom growing up. He later told us, he said, we were so poor that our relatives didn't want to associate with us. We lived in a shack. And so he calls us mom and dad. And each time that we've seen Clifford, it's sometimes been those 3-minute conversations. Another time we took him out after his work shift ended at 2:30 in the afternoon. He'd get there at about 6:30, travel several hours to get there, several taxis to arrive at the workplace at the time. And we heard more of his story. But Clifford is also known amongst his friends where he lives as Preach. Why do they call him Preach? He said, listen, guys, most of your service industry personnel, many of whom work on a Sunday morning, don't have the chance to get into church like we are blessed to do so today. But he said to his neighbors and friends, hey, we can still get together and pray when we have opportunity to do so.
So every time we had an opportunity, we actually shopped at that mall.
Right.
So it became strategic.
Yes.
To be in relationship with our adopted son. He would... We didn't always order coffee. I mean, that gets a little bit expensive, right? So every once in a while, though, we did. And in 2019, it was December. And in December in South Africa, it is hot.
Summer.
It's summer.
Southern summer.
So we had gone to a church service where a friend had invited us to come and participate with their Christmas event and then asked us to come over to their house afterwards for lunch. But church got finished early. So we decided, well, we'll go see our son and see how he's doing. So we went into the mall, we went to the little pop-up coffee shop, and we sat down, and here came Clifford, gave us a big hug, and then we said, we'll have I will have a pot of tea, which needs to be made properly, in a teapot with a china cup with milk, all right?
Very British.
Yes, so you've got to have proper tea, and then Fred ordered a latte. How boring. But anyway... Pretty soon, here came Clifford with our tea and our latte and a slice of carrot cake, carefully cut in half, so that Fred could have half and I could have half, because he knew that Dad really liked carrot cake. What you need to know is today is Fred's birthday. He still likes carrot cake. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
He's finally caught up with me. Now we're, you know, even Steven. All right, so what was really interesting is as Clifford gave us, he said, now, Mom and Dad, this is on me. Do not put that on. You can pay for your latte and your tea.
Right.
The carrot cake is on me. And I wept because I thought, all right, I came to bless people here. Instead, people here are blessing me. But, you know, the story went on. In December this past year, in 2021, I came down with COVID. Yes, we had been vaccinated. But anyway, whatever that version was in South Africa in December.
Omicron.
Somehow found me.
Yes.
And Fred sent out a WhatsApp to our LifeTree group to be praying. And I had it mildly, of which I'm really grateful. But we were isolated. And on December 17, Clifford phoned on a Google Hangout. And he said, Mom and Dad, I have to call to find out how you're doing. He said, you know, our culture, children look after their parents. So that's my job now. You reached out to me all those years ago and developed a relationship with me, have sent me scripts. He calls scripture scripts, of which I then share with my friends. And my friends say to me, who sends you these scripts? And I say, my dad. And they... My friends say, that guy is not your dad. And he says, he is now. As you can tell, you know, whether he is or not. It just, our kids were here in the States. They were really worried about us.
Right.
But what was really amazing for me is God had given us a son over there to look after us. And it all happened because we took time to listen and pay attention and develop a relationship with a wonderful waiter in a mall. If you'll go to the next slide.
Right.
So that is now absorbing, immerse, which involves immersing and listening. And I've lost my place.
Go ahead. You're good. I'll be you for a while.
Okay.
You've just been me.
Okay.
Yeah, we're interchangeable. It's what happens when you're the same age, right? As we prepared to leave the USA in 2016 and begin this fresh kingdom assignment, both of us pondered the how. In fact, as our worship team was leading us in Oceans, you need to know that was one of the songs I played on my vehicle CD player in 2016 when I was commuting to the office and back, as loudly as possible. Because that was a clarion call that God was asking of us to go without borders, to allow the Spirit to lead us. And we found that God is faithful in those times. You've heard the story of Clifford. And with each of us, we find ourselves absorbing insights into our contact as we immerse and listen. Sometimes we have a 3-minute conversation. It may not go any further. But other times, God has a plan behind us. So those who said yes to an invite to join our weekly life group. We started a life group in 2017, about May, as I recall, in the home of the home we were sharing with Cheryl's high school friend, going back all the way to age 12 in fifth grade. And we met Sharon, and you may remember a story we told you about Sharon. We met Sharon walking dogs in the park nearby. It's a very pet-oriented society where we live in that part of South Africa. South Africa owns as many pets, I think, as Americans. And so we were out walking Moira's two poodles one day. We didn't know much about poodles. We learned a lot about poodles because she had gone to the UK and left us in charge of her poodles. So there we are in the park rounding a corner, and this lady with a very gruff voice and very direct says, "What are you doing with Moira's poodles?" She didn't say, "Hi, I am Sharon." She just started with that. And we said, well, I thought quickly on my feet. You know, it's important to do that in a crisis. I said, "We're not dog napping Moira's poodles." She said, "You guys have an accent. Where are you from?" I thought, okay, this is 20 questions, isn't it? Number two. And we said, "Oh, no, man, we grew up in South Africa." She said, "No, I can tell you Americans. What are you doing here?" And you get a lot of that out there. You know, people have strong opinions on America for some reason overseas, and we learned that. And then we said, "Well, we're here to start a church." And she said, "I don't go to church." So we thought, okay, let's change the topic. "What's the name of your dog?" We learned about Dixie, her dog. And then at the end, you know, we looked at our watches and we thought we'd better move on. And about that time she said, "But I'll come to yours," meaning I'll come to your church. We didn't have a church. We're just walking dogs in the park. But the very first life group that we had, guess who was there? Sharon was there, right?
So Sharon showed up, and she was part of season one of our life group. And then in season two, we had moved out of my friend's house into our own digs or our own apartment. And she was unable to travel that far. And then she moved back to where actually Fred lives, which is 300 and something miles.
Right.
So she now definitely could not attend our life group. But guess what happened? Of course, in 2020, COVID hit.
Yes.
And when COVID came, then we went, life group moved to Zoom. And at that point, season three started, and Sharon was knit back into our life group, which is amazing, you know. It wasn't so much fun not meeting anymore in our home,
right,
eating crusty bread and homemade soup, and first having a moment of just debriefing from busy days of work and then getting into the Bible study. But it did mean that those who live far away could now join life group via Zoom. So about 2 months into COVID, we were now in Luke chapter 18 and chapter 19. And you know, chapter 19 is a story of Zacchaeus, the little short guy. Well, I have this real sort of an obsession with knowing what people are thinking. So when we meet you out there with our with our little business card if you'd like to sign up to receive our newsletter. I'd like to know what you were thinking while you've been sitting listening to our
There'll be a multiple choice afterwards. Cheryl will conduct that.
No, but at the end of our times together, I usually say, can you all give me your takeout? That night, as we had looked and just read the story of Zacchaeus, Jenny said this. Jenny always had sort of a different slant on every Bible study. She said, Zacchaeus was short, but he found a solution to his shortness, to his problem. He was resourceful. And then she said, I love the fact that when you fall short, now note the play on Zacchaeus' physical issues. When you fall short, God still reaches out. How wonderful of God to keep finding us when we fall short. Isn't that amazing to think about that? And how often don't we fall short of our own personal expectations? Mm-hmm. Then Brett said he loved the idea of curiosity, and that curiosity should make the list of spiritual virtues and disciplines.
Yes.
And that Zacchaeus is a mentor in this capacity. He was curious. He just wanted to see Jesus. And I agreed with Brett. Curiosity helps you to enter into people's lives just by asking questions. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, Sharon said, you know what my takeout is? Remember Sharon, whom we met walking dogs, who said, I don't go to church, but came to our first life group session. She said, well, it's never, what I get out of the story of Zacchaeus is this. Mm-hmm. It's never too late to turn to God. Yeah. Take me as an example.
Amen.
The last person on the screen there, also Bongi, she's been part of our life group because she said yes. Remember, the answer to how is yes. She said yes to a good friend of hers to start coming to our home for life group. And in 2022, January, she and her husband had moved to quite a far location, and they were beginning to be knit into a local church in that area. But she sent us a WhatsApp to say, you'll never know what life group meant to us when we transitioned from the city of Cape Town, which is at the southernmost point of South Africa, into Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. Your life group was a lifesaver for us. So you never know what a yes will lead to. If you'll go to number three, which is serving, participating, and enriching. So just briefly, the next picture will show how I have been serving. Yes. I've been able to teach three classes at Nazarene Theological College, and that has really meant a lot to me. These are the students that I had the very first time I taught, and I learned so much from them. I know I was a teacher, but actually their lives began to speak so heavily into my life. So serving not only enriches the person you're serving, but they actually in turn enrich your life. And then lastly, Fred has a story about serving as well.
We were down in my home province, KwaZulu-Natal, and we were asked to speak at Calvary Church of the Nazarene. It's a church, a small group of folks that I've known over many years, some of them. We pastored them 20 years ago in addition to which. But it was last year in July while we were here in the States and actually delayed our return to South Africa for two reasons. First of all, the Delta variant of COVID-19 broke out in South Africa in dramatic ways. And as we sought advice from trusted friends down on the ground in South Africa, plus a medical doctor, they said, delay your return. Hospitals are full and don't take chances in coming back now. So we delayed our return. And in July of last year, on top of that, in addition, civil unrest broke out in South Africa. And it particularly targeting my home province, which is a port province. There are two major ports, and particularly the port city of Durban, logistics, distribution centers, food. It seemed like there was an intentional plan to try and
overthrow the government.
Yeah, disable the power and the ability of the government to rule, potentially by a former president who had been asked to step aside. And in the midst of that chaos, business people were absolutely devastated, as were local residents. Food became an issue. Simple things like bread, milk,
vegetables, produce. And there were amazing stories beginning to emerge as people stayed home and hunkered down, of those who were just reaching out in acts of kindness. People across the faith groups and boundaries. It didn't matter who was sharing the resources that they had. And then truckloads began to travel into that affected area from surrounding provinces, which are like states. So, and in the midst of that,
let me explain to you. So, like, yeah, your Costco's, your Sam's, right, your big distribution, they were all burnt, looted, and the trucking. So all this, these trucks that you see going up between, let's say, Portland and, yeah, and yeah, Boise,
yeah,
on the 84, they weren't getting through.
Right.
So if you were stuck here, you would, hopefully you had stuff in your freezer. So it was tough. It was a really difficult time in the country. But then Barry, what happened with him?
Good friend of mine, Barry Gould, business owner.
If you'll go
wife,
to the next
Inge,
couple of slides, yeah, you'll see a picture.
I had known Barry for many years. We had shared an apartment together when we were single young adults. He and his wife, Inge, owned a very good, successful business in an industrial area, not far from one of those warehouses that had been looted. And so they told their employees to stay home, and they themselves were praying for God's protection upon their business property. And Barry decided after a number of days, when it seemed like it would be fairly safe to at least emerge from home and travel some distance, 20, 30 minutes to his business property, he hired an armed guard to go with him. Now, the reason being is policing is extended in South Africa enough as it is. There's high crime rates. And during the civil unrest, things were really out of control. So Barry stepped, you know, into that scenario to go and inspect his property, business premises, with an armed guard. As they approaching it, they realize, whilst all around them is mayhem and chaos, and they're burned out shells of buildings, their business property was seemingly totally intact. As they approached the gate to the property, down the side of the fence came four young men from an informal settlement. And so the armed guard with him spoke to them in isiZulu, one of the 11 official languages of South Africa, and heard an interesting story. Now, Barry understands some Zulu himself, but he asked again of the guard, what were those young men saying? They said to him, to them, "We did not touch this business property." Why? Because when assignments come freight containers arrive and they need laborers to unload those containers, the owner's wife always treats us with respect, giving us food for meals, offering us either hot beverages if it's the colder months, or cold refreshments if it's summer. And Barry said, you know, we've always endeavored to do the right thing as Christians, as Christ followers, as business owners. We've always intended to do good and to act fairly and treat everybody fairly and pay a fair wage. But we never knew what God had in mind for this time of civil unrest. And that just struck a chord. And it reminded us that even in participating and enriching a local community, and helping those living in informal settlements, God has a plan even then.
So these are just a few stories. Barry, by the way, is standing next to Fred. I didn't realize all those guys had on kind of the same shirt.
They were. Anyway. You've heard of the Blue Band? This was the Blue Shirt Brigade. Yeah.
If you'll go to the next slide, wrap this up. The metrics of missional engagement, which God somehow unpacked for us to live. You can tell it's very different. It's kind of, we are on mission every day of our lives, touching, speaking, just reaching out into people's lives, sometimes randomly and sometimes on purpose. For instance, when I taught at the college, that was an on-purpose missional engagement. But these other things that we have been involved with have been so different. So if you look at the next, just the metrics of that, just to remind you, immerse and listen. All of us can do that. God has given us these wonderful things on the sides of our heads, right? To actually listen to the heartaches of people. So we have a young gal in our life group. She's black. She has worked in corporate. She has a university degree. And when we were in Luke, season 2 of our life group, we're in the Lord's Prayer, and she said, you know, I have to pray every day of my life two things, because the hardest thing for me is this topic of forgiveness. She said, every day I have to pray and say, God, help me to forgive my father. Because you see, her father abandoned her and her mother when she was just a toddler. And then I have to pray and say, God, help me to forgive white people. Now, of course, you can tell Fred and I are part of
that tribe.
Part of that tribe.
Yeah.
And inside of me, I'm wanting to defend and explain. But if you have read any stories of South Africa under the apartheid regime, it doesn't help to try to defend or give commentary.
Right.
2 weeks later, she came back and she said, you know, you do not know what it means for me to be able to say whatever I need to say in life group without judgment. And that you never come back with a commentary. You just listen, because you know what? I go away, and it is so empowering then to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to me about my issue of forgiveness. So absorbing, immerse and listen, serving by participating and enriching, relating, connecting, and befriending. So we've been at this for now 6 years. We thank you for your love, your support, your ears to listen to us this morning. Who knew that any of this would unpack when we said yes to a seemingly just a question that came at us out of the blue? Would you ever think about coming back to South Africa and doing whatever God has in mind for you?
Right.
Which leads us to the very last slide, which says from Ecclesiastes, and I just love it. God, what? He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in his time. And our prayer for you here at Baker City is that as you step into these missional behaviors as well in this city, and you will begin to see how God makes everything beautiful in his time. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. So we'll be at the back. We'll have a little business card, acts as a prayer card. You can follow us on social media. You can go to lifetreecommunity.wordpress.com. You can look at us on Facebook. You can also sign up on our website to receive our monthly e-newsletter. And we count it a privilege. Thank you so much, Pastor Troy.
Thank you.